Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We've got a show today to talk about stuff that is just pissing JP off. The whole point
I'm fucking
of the show.
Sideways.
So we're going to talk about the rule changes. We're going to talk about the Snead trade, what that means, why the compensation was the way that it was. And I think that's going to take about an hour, so I don't think we're going to have time to talk prospects today. We got Diz running the show in the background. My name is Quentin Morris. And now a guy whose football takes aren't even worth a seventh-round pick swap. It's the old man himself, JP.
What's up, man?
You know, it was interesting because the rule changes, you know, the information and how all of it's going to work sort of trickled out today.
Yeah.
So it was like more and more was coming out, and we can just jump right into it. So the first one I want to talk about and just sort of get this one out of the way is the hip drop tackle. This is the one that It's confusing to me because the NFLPA came out and said, don't get rid of it, right? And yeah. The NFL was like, you know, almost like playing parent, like we know better than you,
yeah. And
was wanting to get rid of it. So over the last couple of years, there's been some famous guys that have gotten hip drop tackle and have led to injury. So right here on the screen, we've got Tony Pollard who got tackled, and that's how he got injured. And I can't remember, did he break his ankle?
I think it was his ankle.
He broke his ankle, and that's what led to him not being able to hit free agency 2 years ago. The Mark Andrews injury that happened to him this season, that was on a hip drop tackle. So if you don't know what a hip drop tackle is, basically is what you do is it generally come when you're coming behind a player, like we had on that picture, and you put your hands around a guy's waist, and then instead of trying to tackle him, you just basically go limp and try and use your body weight to bring down another player. So we can see in this picture here, I don't know what 49ers player this is, but you see he's got his hands around his waist, and you can see that he's not trying to tackle him. He doesn't have his shoulder up against him. He's not doing anything like that. He's literally just grabbing him and then dropping his body to bring him down. And what happens is that you've got guys' legs who get rolled under on, so you get a lot of lower body injuries that come from that. So this is the injury reason is why the NFL is talking about it. But it's just really interesting to me that the NFLPA said that don't get rid of it. And then you've got the NFL owners and Roger Goodell and everybody's voting to get rid of it. So I want to get your opinion on it, JP, because I know you're very against it.
I'm against all the rule changes this year. Yeah, I'm against pretty much everything they've done to this point. First of all, you can't – okay, this is my get-the-fuck-off-my-lawn segment.
Yeah,
First of all,
old man is going to get reinforced throughout this entire bit.
Hold the fuck up. So you can't hit somebody above the waist. You can't hit them below the waist. If you grab them around the waist and try to tackle them, that's wrong too. What the fuck are they turning this league into, man? Everybody signs up for this league knowing it's a dangerous sport. It's a contact sport. It's been a contact sport for 107 years. Why change it? Why are you going through all of this? I understand what it really boils down to, why the owners voted for it, is because in their minds, they're seeing less medical costs, less this, less that. It really has nothing to do with the players. It has to do with cost. And it's annoying. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to do anything in the NFL. They're making it so hard for defenses to actually win a football game or stop somebody from winning a football game. There's no point. I mean, you know how many players have bitched about this that are in the league now, that are out of the league? They're continuously complaining about this since it came out. It's ridiculous. And I agree with them. There's nothing you can do in the NFL anymore. Nothing. And let me say this. If you think for 1 second, with all the mechanics that go into a hip drop move, period, there's a lot of mechanics that go into it. It's not just wrapping your arms around them and going limp. There's a lot of different things that go into it. You better have somebody watching every single defender and making sure that every part of that mechanical or the mechanics of that move is what you would consider a hip drop move before you call it a 15-yard penalty. Because they're not going to be able to get it, grasp it. I mean, pretty soon you're going to have the same shit you saw with Marcus Peters. Ole, motherfucker, just go on by. Have a good time running to the end zone. That's what's going to happen. It's ridiculous, man. I'm sorry, but it's wrong. They're taking all of the contact out of a contact sport.
So here's my big thing is that I've heard a lot of the comparison to like a horse collar, right? Right. That used to be a part of the game and they took it out and it's a 15-yard penalty. My thing is with like a horse collar tackle, it's clear. You know, everybody who watches football, you see a guy get yanked backwards, their head goes up, and you see them fall backwards, right? You're like, oh, that was a horse collar tackle. We all jump up out of our seat and are like, hey, where's the flag on that? Because we know what it looks like. I just don't know if I watch a series of, let's say, 20 plays, right? And five of them are hip drop tackles. I don't know if I would watch all 20 of those plays and then pull the five out and be like, oh, that was a hip drop tackle. You know, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned that what's going to happen is that the NFL is going to, you know, emphasize the hip drop tackle this year. And then you're going to get a bunch of 15-yard penalties thrown and it's going to lead to games being decided on a new rule change. And that exactly. To me is what I'm thinking about right now is you're going to have that and it's going to be frustrating because a team is going to lose a game this year because of that call.
More than one team. More than one team.
A game will be decided because of that call. There's going to be, absolutely, whether it's you're extending a drive that allows a team to make a comeback or you're extending a drive, you know, that the team is trying to milk the clock so they're running the ball a lot and a linebacker or a safety or a corner is just trying to make a play and they do that. Because the other thing is that the players that do this hip drop tackle are the smaller guys. So think like your corners, right? Those are the kind of guys that do that because a lot of the times, you know, they don't have the angle to make that tackle, or you are trying to, there's a wide receiver that got in front of you. He's 6'4", you know, 215 pounds, and the corner is 5'10" and a 185 soaking wet, right? So you can't just, you know, make a normal contact tackle. So you're trying to use your body weight to your advantage to make the tackle. So I think what this is also going to do, we're going to see more broken tackles because corners, absolutely, are going to try and make a tackle knowing that they can't do it the way that they've been doing it. And so you're going to have that sort of a problem too. We're going to have, you know,
and that'll save owners money as well, Quentin. Think about it. You know, there's a lot of players that are incentive based, and if they're not making the amount of tackles they're supposed to make, that's money in the owner's pocket. And comparing it to a horse collar, it's not anywhere near. A horse collar can really jack you up. I mean, it can really injure you on almost every single play. You can't get that. I mean, you're not going to get – there's the percentages are very low compared to a horse collar tackle and with the damage it can do to you versus this. It's very minimal. The percentages are extremely low. It's way off. It makes no sense to me. You cannot be you cannot tackle anyone in this league anymore.
Here's the other thing. I didn't hear about the hip drop tackle until this year.
Yeah, people started complaining. I don't know who complained about it, but somebody. I think it's teams. Honestly, I think teams that are complaining the most are the teams that have very poor coaching, very few wins, and are looking for ways to make their team better without making their team better.
Yeah. I just think that there are some – face mask is another one, right? Like when you see a face mask, you know what a face mask is,
yeah,
right? You see a guy get – fingers get jammed up in the mask and they rip it backwards to try and make a tackle. I really am just not sure how the officials are. We're putting more on their plate and we all have problems with officiating in the NFL already and you're just going to put something else that they can mess up.
Exactly.
I really do that to me. And then, of course, you've got players are going to get fined for this, and they can get fined whether there's a penalty or not. There's a process where the NFL can now, you know, review games, and if they see a hip drop tackle that wasn't called in the game, players are going to get fined. And I'm already, you know, it's to the point where players can get fined for so much, it's like ridiculous. It's crazy the amount of stuff.
Is it the NFL doesn't make enough money? Let's just go ahead and fine the players, you know, that are actually out there getting their asses kicked every day.
So,
let's find them a little bit more money because the NFL doesn't make enough. That's for sure.
I'm just, I just don't know how you can officiate this. And maybe
you can't. You
know, maybe midway through the season, you know, gets figured out. Maybe there's not as many hip drop tackles in the league as it seems, right? Because I only know what it is, you know, what it looks like when you slow the film down and you're like, oh, that was a hip drop tackle. So, yeah, it's crazy to me that this was something nobody talked about, and then in a year and a half, it's gone.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes zero sense other than it's a money grab. And when it all boils down to it, it's a money grab. But it's killing the players in every aspect. It's killing them in incentives. They don't have – there's no way you can be a good defender and not be able to tackle. I mean, we went through this with holding and PI calls back when Breezy was with the Chiefs. If anybody remembers, Breezy was pretty aggressive for the most part. Anything that Snead did this year, Breezy would have got called on, or this past season. Breezy got called on. I remember one play when he chased down a wide receiver down the left hash mark, and he slipped and fell, and his hand reached out, and his finger touched the man's heel of his foot. He didn't fall, kept on going. 15-yard penalty. As he ran out of bounds because he lost his balance, not because of Breezy, just because he lost his balance. I mean, they hold flags like this waiting for the play to happen. They're waiting for somebody. And now they're reverting to something else that they want to penalize. This is becoming not fun to watch. And you got players out there that are really upset about this because they're not allowed to play defense in any aspect. They're not allowed. Secondary players are screwed. They have been for a long time, and that just makes it worse.
Yeah.
Whether you're a safety or a corner, it doesn't matter. It sucks.
Let's talk about another rule change here.
Oh, fuck.
This is a positive rule change. We'll throw the good one in the middle. At least I think this is good.
All right.
The more challenges, right? Teams have now been given a third challenge. A team now gets a third challenge if just one of their two earlier challenges were successful. This rule was proposed by the Lions. I think that, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I think it was...
No, that's fine.
I don't think there should be... If you keep getting them right, you should just keep getting a challenge. But until you're wrong. But yeah, a third challenge, that's good. Obviously, you have to have the timeouts for it. Because if you lose your... You lose your challenge, you're charged a timeout. But that's a small change that I think is good in the NFL. Allow coaches to be a little bit more involved in the game, and basically to be able to hold refs accountable even for just a little bit more.
I agree with that one. That's not so bad. I just hope it doesn't turn into, like they said, that was a temporary, try it out for the 2024 season to see how it works out. If we remember, they allowed you to challenge PI calls a couple of years ago, and that went out the window pretty quick. I mean,
that was horrible because the refs never corrected themselves.
No, exactly, but they still don't correct themselves. But yet, that penalty's gone.
Here's the thing in baseball, right? When there's a challenge in baseball, the on-field umpires have nothing to say about it. They put the headset on and they go to New York, and New York makes the decision. They have no say in whether a challenge is successful or not. I think the NFL needs to implement something like that. And I've said, I give it my opinion on this multiple times on the show. The NFL needs to get a sky judge in there anyways, because it would make it.
Oh, they have one. They just don't use them. They don't utilize them in regular season games. It's only
they need to have a guy up in a booth. He gets all the same angles that we get as the viewers, and it would make you go by faster. And if there isn't a challenge, or when there isn't a call made, you know, that's when he can go down to the other umpire or other refs and he can be like, hey, I need you to throw a flag here. There was a pass interference on number 58. You know, that's the power that sky judge should have. And I think that would solve a lot of the problems in terms of bad ref calls or non-calls that are happening in the NFL. It would just be giving somebody the exact same camera angles that we have. But that should be something that the NFL needs to do before they start doing other stuff. But the reason that the pass interference stuff didn't call call didn't work was because the umpires were never going to change themselves. They were self. They were.
They gave. You're right. And that the problem with that, though, Quentin, is that the NFL should have given, like you said, a sky judge or somebody in New York that responsibility, not the guys on the field to correct themselves. Because why are they going to say they were wrong almost every time?
Exactly.
That's just fucking stupid. I mean, these guys are pissed off because they don't want to be corrected, and that's on them. That's on them. If you make a mistake, own up to it. If you don't, great. But they're not. I mean, we've seen guys, we've seen penalties that we never thought we'd see. I mean, I remember a Jeff Triplett, few penalties from Jeff Triplett. By the way, in 2013 was supposed to be his last playoff game, and he reffed. And he was back in 17 against who? Oh, wait, the Chiefs. And then as he's walking off the field, he has his email open for his retirement papers, and it's send. While he gets the guards to walk him off the field because of his bullshit calls in the second half. So you got to get – at some point, this has to be changed by the NFL. They have to quit pussyfooting around and worrying about the extra couple $100,000 a year they may spend on sky judges, or even if it's $500,000 a year. Who cares? If it gets it right –
the equipment is there. Like all I'm saying is that you get the same camera angles that we get as the viewers.
Yeah, but then you have to pay the guy in that booth – well, you actually have to pay the guy more guys to be up in the booth on a Sunday to do their job. And they're not paying these guys to be up there to do it. They're getting, you know, there used to be 20 guys in a booth in New York watching these games. There's like two or three now on a Sunday. How is two or three guys going to help any team, much less 16 games or 12 games that are going on in, on a Sunday?
Yeah.
It's impossible. I don't know, man. It's ridiculous. The NFL, in my opinion, right now has got me irritated. I think because they're getting very cheap and making a whole lot of money doing it. That's what's annoying me. And their owners, most of the owners, I should say, are following suit because they're making more money by being cheap. I mean, look what just came out about Robert Kraft. He didn't know. He didn't know he had a 50-year-old workout room. But he was very involved with the team. If you remember that press conference prior to that, man, I'm extremely involved in this team. Really, are you trying to tell me after 22 years, 23 years, 24 years, this is the first I've heard that my equipment or my workout room is terrible? Really? You're full of shit. You just didn't want to spend the money to build a new one. And that's been the biggest problem is the NFL is allowing these owners to make more and more and more. The players are getting screwed. The fans are getting screwed. The fans have to pay more money for tickets. They got to pay them. I mean, I didn't really have a problem with the Peacock thing because I already have it. But a lot of people got pissed. So they got to pay for Amazon Prime. They got to pay for Peacock. Next thing you know, it's going to be on some other fucking streaming app. And then in the next 5 years, it's going to be all streaming.
Peacock's got another game this year.
It's
the Friday game after the home opener. The Eagles are playing in Brazil.
Agreed.
On week one, and that game's going to be on Peacock. We can talk about this. Another thing of scheduling, the NFL is playing another Christmas game.
And how much you want to bet the Chiefs somehow the Chiefs will be involved in that one? I don't know why. I feel like they're going to be two. It's a doubleheader on Christmas.
Yeah, well, how it's going to work is that the Saturday before Christmas, you're going to have two games on that Saturday. Right. And then that coming up Christmas is on a Wednesday this year. Out of the four teams that we're playing, you're going to flip the teams that we're playing each other. So team one will play team two on that Saturday. Team three and four will face each other. So you will have them team one play team three and team two play team four on that Wednesday to try and, you know, keep the schedule working the way that it is. So,
well, here's the thing. I'm okay with that if that's what you want to do. And people were saying, oh, well, you know, there's no difference between a Sunday and a Thursday game. You're right, there's not. But when you're the NFL team that set a fucking record for the most short games in a season, that does make a difference. And that's who we were last year, if anybody doesn't remember that. We had the most the most games with the less time of rest than any team in the history of football ever. But so let's make sure that we fuck those teams too, because what does it
matter? We asked because Kansas City played in so many primetime games late in the year, and you know it was every game. I remember that this was, we talked about this, and this was a big story going into the last 2 months of the season, where Kansas City was on a short week, or the team that they were facing was either coming off a bye week or the, you know, week before,
or a long week,
or they had been they played a primetime game, so they get some extra time off. So yeah, that was a big deal heading into the last few games of the year.
And the problem too, Quentin, is they added. Remember when they did that flex game and they added this last year, and we ended up getting an extra short week.
It was City got flexed out of. Was that the prime? They got flexed out of prime time.
Because we were playing the fucking Broncos. Patriots? It was because we were playing the Broncos, I think, and they sucked.
I don't remember who it was. I just know that it was supposed to be. I think, was it supposed to be played on a Sunday night?
Yeah.
I just remember thinking to myself, the first time Kansas City got flexed out of a Monday game ever.
Yeah.
It was Patrick Mahomes got flexed out.
Yeah. And it was because whoever we were playing, which I think was the Broncos, were terrible. And they didn't want – maybe it wasn't the Broncos. I don't remember.
I think it was the Patriots.
It was the Patriots. And it's because they were so bad that they didn't want that on a primetime game. Well, you were the ones that made the schedule to begin with. Don't make it even worse on the team that's good because the other team's bad. I mean, that's ridiculous. But whatever. Okay.
All right,
let's go on to this next rule, this dumb fucking rule.
The kickoff setup.
Exactly.
I actually think that this rule could be good. This rule change can be good. Throw up. I'll explain to you why I think so here in a minute. You have the graphic. You can throw it up. So the way the teams are going to set up here, basically the setup's going to look kind of similar to the XFL. If you watch the XFL, where all the guys have to be lined up and they have to be within 5 yards of each other. So this is going to make it to where you aren't going to have those high collision impacts because guys are running at full speed. The NFL's tried to take those collisions out of football because, remember, they used to be able to get a running start as the ball was getting kicked off. Mm-hmm. Then they made it to where you can't get that running start. This is sort of the next, you know, evolution of that rule. So the weird part is where you're looking at the bottom part of the graphic here. They have what's called the landing zone. So if the ball rolls into the end zone, right, and you get a touchback that way, okay, then the ball goes to the 20-yard line. If the ball ends up in the end zone where you get a touchback, Harrison Butker kicks it, it lands in the end zone, and you get a touchback that way, the ball goes to the 35. And if you squib kick it and the ball doesn't get into the quote-unquote landing zone, then the ball goes to the 40. So basically what this is trying to do is you're trying to get kickers to get the ball into that quote-unquote landing zone, which is from the 20 to the start of the end zone. And you're trying to encourage kickers to put it in a spot where guys can return the ball. Yes. You can have two returners back there, as you see on the top part of the graphic here. You don't have to have two. You can only put one back there if you wanted to. But I'm interested in this for a couple of reasons. One, I want to see what some special teams coordinators are able to come up with, because I do think there are some interesting things that you can come up with. And I do think that this is going to revitalize kickoffs. I have some numbers in front of me here. If you just want to go over the amount of touchbacks by team, there were teams, the Atlanta Falcons, 85% of their kickoffs were touchbacks. The worst team in the NFL were the Green Bay Packers, and they were at 60% of their kickoffs ended up in touchbacks. It's essentially a dead play as of right now. The previous Super Bowl, Chiefs 49ers, it was the first Super Bowl in history to where there was not a single reception on a kickoff. Every single kickoff was a touchback. And it's not like there was a lack of scoring in that game, right? Like, both teams were able to kick field goals and score touchdowns. So there were plenty of kickoffs in that game. Kansas City got touchback on almost 75% of the kicks ended in touchbacks. It's essentially a dead play up to this point. So I think this is going to encourage kickers to kick it into spots that can be returned, and it'll bring excitement back to a dead play.
Okay, but what spot can it be returned from? If you're talking between the 20 and the line of the end zone, the start of the end zone, any point, east or west, north or south, is a returnable place. Mm-hmm. Then you, not only that, you have two guys that can return the ball, not just one. You have two. So you got two trackers out there. And then you got
your, you don't have your, to have two trackers back there.
I know, but you think they're not going to when they know that that's going to allow them. First of all, it's like everybody, your two lines are holding hands and singing Kumbaya instead of actually playing the game of football. But this, you're taking the art out of returning footballs.
See,
you're taking that away.
I disagree. I think it's going to add some, it's going to be a little weird at first, but I think it's going to add some strategy into how do you cover this? How are you going to be able to get around some of these guys? Do you put one back there? Do you put two back there? I think you're going to see some more hook and ladder type plays back there, and I think that's going to be interesting. I think you're going to bring excitement back to the kickoff.
I think it was exciting enough when you had guys that, you know, like Dante Hall and Tariq Hill and Devin Hester and all these other guys that could run back a football and bob and weave and keep his eyes open and make the moves he needed to make. This is not making any moves.
They're not necessarily worried about the guy who has the ball who's getting the concussions. They're worried about the players who are having the blockers. Because you've got full dudes, you got guys running at full speed and running into each other and doing the 5-yard lineup like that. You're removing those high speed collisions. So you're making the game safer.
Why don't you do something about the helmets then, like they did for running backs? Instead of worrying so much about that, do something about the helmets. You've got the technology to do it, but you don't want to spend the money on it. They've proven that.
You're just eliminating the need for that part.
The cost, yeah.
I just think that this is a way to bring back, and it's going to be a little weird at first, but I think by the end of the year, really the first month and a half into football, it won't be that weird anymore. I think that this is good.
I don't know. I don't think it's good at all. I mean, you know, before the ball came out to the 25, you know, it was the 20-yard line. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was fine.
When they changed that, because that was 2008, I want to say.
Maybe a little earlier, yeah. It's okay. If you want to do that, that's fine. It was a little bit to the advantage of the offense, and that's okay. I guess my thing is, you have the technology to be able to stop a lot of these concussions, but you don't want to spend the money on it.
I don't even think it's that. I don't know if that's a fair analysis, because I think that if you want to get rid of the biggest problem is you've got dudes running at full speed. We'll put it to a point to where they can't run at full speed anymore because there's simply not enough space. And the guys can't move until the receiver, the returner, touches the ball.
He said, I regret not naming this show Get Off My Lawn. Damn straight. I don't know, man. I just think they're taking – I understand why they're doing it to a degree. I think they're taking it too far. They're making it so complicated. And two of the three changes right now are extremely complicated. It's not only going to drag the games out because referees are not really going to know what to do. Let's keep in mind, too, that this is – a trial basis on both of these. This is going to go through 2024.
They are not committed to any of the. They are not committed to that kickoff rule for the rest of history. They've said that it's a one-time basis.
Correct.
They got rid of that fair catch rule too. I thought that was dumb. So that
and
fair
I didn't like
rule,
that so much.
They got rid of that one, so that's no longer a thing.
And that rule right there, I understand. I get it. The only thing is, though, if it's a fair catch and you're on the 7-yard line, it's not doing the offense any advantage, you know, advantages. It's not giving them any advantages. Now, if you caught it on the 40, okay, that makes more sense.
Well, the rule was if you caught it on the 7-yard line and you fair caught it, it was a touchback. They were giving you the ball at the 25.
Who? No, it wasn't.
That was the rule last year.
Well, I don't remember that at all. I remember guys catching the ball on the 10. On the 5, and the ball was down to that spot last year. If they caught the ball and they fair caught it at the 6 or 7 yard line, that's where they started from.
No, I remember that was the rule change last year to where if you fair caught it behind the 20-yard line, then you were just given a touchback. That was the rule that pissed off a lot of special teams coordinators last year. So now, not a lot of teams did it. Because teams wanted to give their – if they caught the ball at the 7-yard line, teams wanted to give their returner an option to take it. But, yeah, that was a rule change last year.
Well, I remember a few guys complaining about guys catching the ball on the 4-yard line, especially at Mecole Hardman, and then getting – because he didn't have a choice, he ran it out, and the ball was down then. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But regardless, I don't know that this is such – I mean, that rule doesn't bother me as much. I don't care about that. If you don't want to have – If you want to get rid of that, that's fine. I just think they're taking it a little too far with this. How much damage can – it's no different than an offense and a defensive line when you really think about it. I mean, there's a few yards separating these two lines, a few yards. There is no high speed. There's no way they can get to any speed.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's stupid. You got to give them some kind of – you got to have some kind of challenge on both sides. If you're going to do that and you want to limit the amount of concussions or high-impact blows, then make it a 15 or even 20-yard separation. Okay, I don't get it. 5 yards, 10 yards, that's stupid, man. You don't have an opportunity to do anything. I'm sorry, but it's just dumb. If you're gonna
block, you're
yeah, you're blocking like you are if you're an offensive defensive line though. There's no challenge to it in that part of it. For the two lines, there's zero challenge.
Oh, and it's not like they're right up next to each other like an offense. It's more like a linebacker.
But that's still, you're only talking about
5 yards off the line.
5 yards is not a lot of yards to, dude, there's no time to be able to do anything. First of all, I don't know. I think they should have spread it out a little bit. If they wanted to do 15 yards minimum, then that's fine. Do 15 yard separation, do 20 yard separation.
But when you start to get to that 15, 20 yards, you're getting players that can run full speed. You know, we're seeing that guys can get, we see how fast guys are in the combine, you know, what they're able to run in 10, 15 yards. Like, we see how strong and athletic these guys are, and if they can get up to full speed in 10 yards, that's where you're getting that high-speed collision. Because these guys, it's not like they're down in three-point stance, you know?
I guess no matter how you look at it, though, there's no way of separating them, Quentin. Okay, think about it. The further out they are, the more convoluted it gets when you get closer, okay? So players are – they're looking for the runner. They're looking for the returner. So they're kind of beelining for that. I understand maybe some of their concept behind this of trying to protect them. I don't know if it's going to or not. I really don't. Because it's more convoluted from the distance than it is up close. You see what I'm getting at? So that when you finally get down to where that ball is caught, when you finally get down there, it's very congested. The runner has every opportunity to go any direction he wants to go.
Right.
Why wouldn't they have said, okay, you can't block until you're at the 30-yard line?
Fizz, put the graphic back up again.
Look at where those guys are separated at right now. Look at the distance between the blue and the red. Look at the distance between those guys. Honestly,
yeah,
man.
It's 5 yards.
That sucks. No matter how you look at it, that's not good. There's other ways that you could have done this, and I'm sure somebody else came up with an idea that would have been better than basically let's hit each other and let the runner just go right by us.
And else,
because you know, wait, hold on. You know how many holdings or hold penalties are not going to be called because of this? Think about that. Do you know how as congested as it is on the regular kickoff? Can you imagine how fucked up and how many holding penalties and everything else that's not going to be called because of this stupid-ass lineup right now?
I don't know, man.
I don't like it.
I'll say this. I watched some XFL games, and I think the kickoff worked perfectly fine. Because this is what they had.
They don't have the same rules.
The XFL. This lineup is what they had.
They don't have the same rules. They don't have the same rules the NFL does. They don't have nearly the amount of penalties. They're not called for the amount. They're told not to call those penalties. The XFL is totally different than the NFL when it comes to all the rules and all the penalties that should be called and aren't. It is. It always has been. So, yeah, I can see that working for them because they don't call near the amount of penalties. But this is a different game. If you're going to do that, then you're going to have to limit the amount of penalties that are actually penalties. Because people hold all day long in the XFL. They don't get called for it. They jam people in the mud. They don't get called for it. Blocking the backs. They don't get called for it. Not nearly as much as they do in the NFL. Do we remember the game when, who was it? Everybody said it was a dirty play when it really wasn't. It was Trent Williams. He got shoved from behind, fell into a defender, fell into him in the back. When he did, it was playing the Cowboys, and what's his name? Their linebacker that's fucking amazing. What's his name, dude? The linebacker for the Cowboys. It's so goddamn good.
Oh, Micah Parsons?
Micah Parsons was coming around. That offensive player fell into Micah Parsons' knee, and he was basically knocked out of the game and was out for the season. They called that a block in the back, even though somebody fell on Trent Williams. Can you imagine how this is going to be? That is way too close, and the refs are not going to be able to call those holding penalties. Or they're going to over amplify it and call everything a holding penalty, and then it's just going to draw the game out. This is they're way too close. I don't like it. I think they should have spread it out further to where maybe they couldn't get up to full speed, but at least they have some kind of an opportunity, and refs can see in between the lines. They can't see this shit, nor do they even want to, unless it's a team that they're wanting to, you know, call penalties against or not call penalties against. I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to work out. I'm glad this is a one-year try it or leave it. Because I bet you at the end of the season, I bet this is not on the table anymore and they come up with a new rule.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree, because I think that this is it's a good way to get those high collisions out of it. And I think that it's a way to keep the kickoff in the game, because the kickoff was a dead play. And it did work in the XFL. And a kickoff is a kickoff. You know, there's not a whole lot different from what the NFL does to what the XFL did. And
except for penalties.
I think it was a good play. I do agree with you, though, that it is a good thing that it's a one-year trial. Because if for some reason it doesn't work out and I'm wrong, I'll give credit to the NFL for this. Unlike what? Especially baseball. But every other sports league. The NFL is willing to go in, make rule changes for a year, and if it doesn't work, they're willing to back off of it.
And that's fine.
And I do think the NFL does a great job with that stuff because they aren't worried about, you know, doubling down on a bad rule. So,
well, I mean, I think if they would worry more about putting, as we talked about and we've talked about for years, if they would actually have the booth in New York doing their job during regular season games – and paying more attention to what goes on on the field, spending the money on the technology that they have, they wouldn't have to make all these rule changes. They've made helmets that will protect you for a massive impact, but yet they're not utilizing them. They went with the cheaper version, the ones that the running back uses, it used last year. I don't know, man. I think it's just, let's change the rules instead of spend the money we need to spend, whether it be sky judges or helmets that protect players, whatever the case may be. That's just my opinion, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's been going this way for a while, so, I mean, we've seen that. They probably need to pay the rest to be full. Absolutely,
yeah,
they do.
We talked about that. That's,
yeah, they
that's
absolutely do. And also, another thing is it would be really nice if they did what they used to do and have the rest say, oh, you know what? Go in front of a group of press guys.
Yeah, instead of just the pool reporters. It's, yeah, these
exactly.
are all things that every NFL fan can agree on stuff like
yeah,
that.
Absolutely. It should have been – I mean, they used to. I remember refs back in the day had to stand there on the field and explain to the fans why they called that penalty.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's ridiculous. Goodell protects them and the NFL protects them because they don't have to – they're not full-time employees and they don't have to pay them as much. Even though they make a damn good living doing what they do, they're still not $1 million, $2 million, $5 million employees. So – I don't know, man. It's going to be an interesting year, I'll say that, when it
yeah.
comes to these rule changes. I think there's going to be a lot of screw-ups, what I think. Not from just the players or the coaches. I think the refs are going to be screwing up a lot. I think it's going to be a clusterfuck for a while.
Yeah, that's what I said about the hip drug tackle. That's the one I'm not worried about the most. Let's move on to we got about 20 minutes left in the show. We can talk a little bit of the Snead trade that happened on Friday night.
Yeah.
I think it was Friday night.
So
for – I don't know how the hell you wouldn't have heard about this by now, but if you live under a rock and you're best friends with Patrick Starr, L'Jarius Sneed got traded to the Tennessee Titans. Kansas City's compensation will be that they get a third-round pick in 2025 draft and that they got a seventh-round pick swap, which moves them up about 25 spots in the seventh round. He signed a four-year deal with the Titans, $55 million guaranteed, and he got a $20 million signing bonus. So he got the bag, a bag that Kansas City would not be able to give him. So good for L'Jarius Sneed. Just first of all, for JP, what do you think about the compensation? And just how do you feel about it, you know, sort of your first response to it?
Well, look, we talked about this I don't know, it was probably 15 days ago that on the show that the Titans were the closest team to anybody as far as getting that trade done. So we had a feeling that he was going to be the one that, or they're going to be the one that ended up with him out of everybody else. I mean, there was teams that were dropping out left and right, teams that were signing people, teams that really didn't have the money or were that, you know, that I guess I can't say weren't interested, but were trying to lowball. Now, let's put this into perspective for everybody out there. It's why the fuck did we take a seventh rounder? Why did we only move up 20 spots for a seventh rounder? Snead, this was a lot of Andy doing what Andy does and catering to the player. And Veach did the same thing. There could have been 12 teams out there. Somebody could have offered a third and a fifth. But Snead didn't want to go there. Snead wanted to go to a team that was, one, going to pay him, and two, he had connection with in some way. He went to the Titans for that reason.
That's something that we don't talk about a lot. Snead had leverage in this situation because he technically hadn't signed his franchise tag yet. He technically was not on the Chiefs roster because what happened, he had to sign the franchise tag, then get traded, then sign a contract with the other team. If Snead didn't want to get traded to another team, the Chiefs' hands were kind of tied because he technically isn't – they can't force him to sign the franchise tag. No. So he didn't have to sign the franchise tag until right before the season started.
Correct.
So that's something that I think is important to know is that, you know, he wasn't even technically on the team yet. So if Kansas City, even if they got offered a better trade to pick a team, the Buccaneers, I don't even know if they were in the conversation, but hypothetically, let's say Kansas City got a better offer from the Buccaneers. They were offered a second round pick and, you know, a fifth round pick, whatever. But Snead didn't want to go and play for the Buccaneers.
Exactly.
The Chiefs couldn't trade him there. So that's a good point to bring up, JP, and it's something that hasn't been talked about a lot.
What I love about Veach is and Andy for that matter, is that they actually give a crap about the players, especially guys that have really done everything above and beyond to help this football team, model citizen, did nothing wrong, worked his ass off, deserves the bag. Veach knew he couldn't pay him that money. Why not let him go out and make the money he deserves to make?
And so I saw all over Twitter, I had friends talking to me that they were like, how did they get, you know, that the Chiefs got fleeced in this trade?
No.
I don't think so, even though the comp was lower than I wanted. And the thing that disappointed me the most about it is that you only got the one pick. I don't mind that the third round pick is next year. You know why? Because next year's coming, and when that in 2025, when we're talking about the draft, we're going to be happy they have an extra third round pick. That part doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that you only got one pick. I really wanted another. So if Kansas City gotten a third round pick and they would have got the Titans seventh round this year, I'd have felt so much better about that. But I think also there are three reasons why I think the compensation was low. Kind of four. If we're talking about specifically about the Titans, because they didn't have a third round pick this year. So, you know, they couldn't offer a third round pick this year. They don't have one because they traded it to go draft the Mayo man to play their quarterback. So the first reason is that Snead, I think his knee is a bigger problem than what we originally talked
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
He was on the injury report 18 out of 20 games, right? Now he played all throughout the regular season. He played in every postseason game, so he was able to make it through it, right? But he got treatment for that knee 18 out of the 20 weeks throughout the year. And he missed training camp, and he missed preseason games because of that knee. So I think that knee is a lot worse than what we as fans know about. So I think that's a big part of it.
You're right. And not only that, I think what you just said, other teams see that he was on the injury report.
Exactly.
18 out of the 20 weeks, they're going to lowball. Well, exactly. I don't know about his knee. I don't know if this is good. I don't
100%.
Know if that's good. So
and that's just what happens, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're going and you're haggling to go buy a new couch or something, and you see that there's a rip near the arm, you're gonna tell the guy, hey, there's a rip there. I don't know if I should be paying full price for it. I mean, that's the sort of – that's just life. The second thing, he needed a new contract. So as soon as he went, whatever team you traded him to, that cap hit was going to be – you were going to have to fork over some cash. Even if the cap hit was going to be low, eventually that cap hit is going to go up because, once again, he had leverage in the conversation. So that was that's a second thing. Anytime you trade a player that you have zero control over because his rookie contract are ending, or think like when Kansas City traded for Frank Clark, right? Like, you have to give the guy a deal because you just traded for him. So exactly. He needed a new contract. That's another thing that sort of lowered his trade value.
And the tag lowers your trade value. People don't realize that, but just being on the tag alone lowers
your trade
value.
That's my third point. The NFL knew that they wanted to trade him because Kansas City never offered him a contract. Every 31 of the remaining franchises knew that Kansas City is trading this player. So his value is lower specifically for that reason. If you know somebody wants to get rid of something, you're not going to go in and pay top-tier price because you know the guy wants to get rid of it. So his value is lowered by that as well. So I just think that if all things were being equal, if L'Jarius Sneed, hypothetically, right, if he was on his second contract already and he was being paid a middle-of-the-road corner, right, and he had 2 years left on a middle-of-the-road corner, Kansas City would have gotten more value for him because you got 2 years of control left. You didn't have 2 years of control left, and all of these other factors lowered his trade value. So I don't think you can really say Kansas City got fleeced on it. I'm just disappointed with the fact that they didn't get a fifth-round pick in this year's draft or something of that because I wanted to get two picks out of it. That's my biggest thing with it, is I wanted to get a second pick for him.
Let's look at it from a different perspective. Last year, we tried to trade up in the draft. Everybody remembers that. Didn't work out. Not one team would trade up with us, not even Jackoff Jerry Jones.
Yeah, that was the big one, is the Cowboys were the one that Kansas City was really trying to trade with.
Correct. What's to say that they didn't work out a deal that they can't trade up this year with the Titans? That's always a possibility. You're going to, I'll do this deal with you, but let's trade up if I want to trade up. And that could very well happen. So don't put that out of your head, because that's something that that GMs and owners do all the time. It's just part of the NFL. It's part of the game. It's part of the trade game. It's part of the draft game. The draft is what? Less than a month away.
I think it's – yesterday was exactly a month, I think.
Yeah, yesterday was a month. Exactly. So I wouldn't doubt one bit if Veach didn't have something worked out in those lines, because nobody wants to trade up with us. Nobody even wants to trade with us, period. So don't be surprised if that's not something that was worked into that. Just saying. But look, it is what it is. We, you know, as much as we didn't want to believe it and we argued back and forth on this show, he was going to go. Now, would he have been okay? Would the Chiefs have been okay if he stayed? Yes. But now they got $20 million that they don't have to worry about that went back into the cap. So we don't have to worry about that. That's money that we can spend elsewhere. Yes. Whether we roll it over to next year, which we very well can roll over a good percentage of this and pay some of the guys that are going to be wanting a contract next year, or we decide to go after another free agent this, you know, between now and September, which we very well can. I don't know if we will. Kind of sound like we won't, maybe one. But they're not going to go out and spend stupid money on players, but I think they have the opportunity now. They have the choice to be able to – they have the opportunity to make a choice, which they didn't have before. Yeah, Creed and Trey, two players next year that are going to have to be paid.
This leads to my next question. Kansas City has – SpotTrack has Kansas City having about, let's see here, $26.3 million in overall their cap space as of right now. What does Kansas City do with that money? There are a couple players that Kansas City can re-sign. You've got Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton, and Trey Smith. They were all part of, you know, that really good draft class.
Yeah.
They are free agents next year. So those are three guys that I think Kansas City could look at re-signing and giving them decent money on their first year to lower the cap hit, you know, later on. Yeah. Out of those three, how would you rank them? 1, 2, 3.
That's tough, because the protection for, I kind of agree with that. The protection for Mahomes is a vital thing compared to Nick Bolton. And I don't know that they'll, so I would say probably Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, then Nick Bolton would be last, in my opinion.
Okay.
Now, can they sign all three? Absolutely. Because if you carry some of this money over to next year, Then you got the increase in cap. You can absolutely sign them and still do whatever you have to do next year. This is a smart move by Veach. It's not, you know, this is a very smart move by him. This is not a mistake. He's playing chess, and he's been playing chess for a long time with the Chiefs, and he's done very well at it. He's, you know, he's screamed checkmate 3 times. Almost, you know, it could have been 4. So I would say he's doing okay. I wouldn't complain about what he's doing right now. And if they want to keep Bolton, they absolutely can. Do I think he's 100% gone? No. Do I think he's probably going to be the last to get signed next year? Probably so.
So with the $26 million, I think that we could see an extension come from one of these guys. If my three, or me ranking the three, I'd have Creed Humphrey 1. I know Kansas City has a history of moving on from centers like, you know, Rodney Hudson and Mitch Morse over the last, 15 years. Kansas City has done that. But I do think keeping some continuity on the offensive line is good.
That's huge.
Also, you know, it doesn't bother me if you're paying top money to two of your positions on the offensive line, because I look at the offensive line as a single unit, not a position by position. And at a certain point, you're going to lose, you know, you're going to lose one of your tackles. You're going to lose.
Joe Thuney is going to be gone,
right?
Yeah.
So I don't mind it if you re-sign Creed Humphrey, and then at that point you have another rookie playing either right tackle, or you have a guy on a rookie contract playing left tackle / left guard, right? So I don't mind that. Nick Bolton, I don't devalue the middle linebacker position like some have. Like, I don't think it's fair to say it's the running back of the defense, because I think that a great middle linebacker provides more value to a team than a great running back does.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it if you're planning on bringing back Nick Bolton. We've heard how phenomenal Nick Bolton is coming from how the defense, you know, mm-hmm. Steve Spagnuolo's talked about him over and over again about in the Super Bowl, even though you're not allowed to be in the helmet of the middle linebacker, Nick Bolton and Steve Spagnuolo have such a communication back and forth that they were able to call a play in the Super Bowl because they just know each other so well. So I wouldn't mind giving Nick Bolton an extension. I also wouldn't mind it if he walks. So I'm more 50-50 on that. A lot of that would come down to what the contract is. I don't want to, you know, see Nick Bolton get top of the market money, because I do think in the long term that hurts your team. But if you end up giving him a $12 million a year, $13 million a year contract, I think that that could be good for your team. And I do think you should let Trey Smith walk, because once again, you can't pay everybody, and finding a guard is easier than finding any other position on the line, because I don't even have to find a guy that played guard in college to fill that position. If there's a tackle that played in college, I can move him inside to guard. So
you have to remember where Trey Smith came in the draft too. So I think that's going to play some role in his contract negotiations when it's time.
I don't know, because he hasn't had any problems since he got.
No, yeah, I mean, he's had a few injuries, but nothing major. But I still think that teams are going to.
That kept it. That is why he got drafted in the sixth round.
Yeah, it was more. It wasn't even really a heart problem. It was more of a. It was kind of stupid, but it was something that had to do with a blood clot in his leg. But it.
And I think part of what screwed him was the COVID year. And so not every.
Well, it did. I mean, it didn't help him either. Yeah, it didn't help him. Yeah.
It really was a combination of things. Trey Smith is going to be a guy. He's going to go and sign somewhere. He's going to get paid a hefty bag because he has been such an important piece to this offense.
Well, and you're right. I agree. On the offensive line, if I had to let one of those two guys go, it would probably be Trey Smith over Creed Humphrey.
And
Creed Humphrey has been a phenomenal player.
Yeah, outside of his low snapping this year, which I don't
think. That was annoying.
I don't think it's that big of an issue, because if the Chiefs re-sign Creed Humphrey, I'm not worried about the low snapping, because that means that they either know how to fix it. There were rumors around that part of his low snapping was an injury problem, that he hurt his hand.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not really worried about a guy who's had low snapping for 1 year. If he was a rookie and he had the low snapping, then I'd be more concerned about it. But we've seen him have no problems with it, and then all of a sudden, you know, he had a hiccup. So I'm not really worried about that low snapping issue. If it continues into this year, you know, that's when we're going to spend some time talking about it. But I'm not really that worried about it.
Well, bringing up – when you brought up Nick Bolton, the one thing I will say is Spags – and we know this. Nick Bolton has one of the highest football IQs.
Yeah, and
anybody for – I mean, he's had that since he came into the league. I mean, look, the man got the green dot halfway through his rookie season.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, we were talking about how Spags doesn't play rookies, right?
Exactly.
That was at the point where Spags was playing – worse veteran players over rookies because
exactly.
He didn't trust young players to come in and play his defense, right?
Exactly. I mean, if everybody remembers, Anthony Hitchens actually took his job when he came back, which was a mistake, but that was Spags, and that's just
yeah.
How he did things.
You could argue that Nick Bolton is one of the reasons why Spags has been allowed to thrive with a young defense.
Absolutely.
I mean, Nick Bolton has been a big part of this huge run Kansas City has been on. And so I do think that Nick Bolton is also one of the reasons why you can let a Willie Gay walk, because you have another top linebacker, a better linebacker, tackling linebacker. When he two years ago now, he led the team in tackles, right? So, yeah, Nick Bolton is a difference maker. We've got a couple minutes left. I'll bring up one veteran player that Kansas City may be looking to re-sign. Justin Reed's contract ends in 2025.
Yeah.
How would you feel if he got an extension with some of the money they were able to?
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that. I like what he has brought to this football team. His leadership is great. He's got the tangibles. I think he's a great player. I don't think he's going to ask for giant money, and I think he's happy where he's at. He loves the team. I would be okay with him bringing him back. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all.
Yeah. I don't know if I would do it with the money you just got. I think that's a conversation at the end of the 2025 season.
Absolutely.
But out of all of the, like, you know, veteran guys, Justin Reed has been really good for this team. Unlike the Honey Badger, right? Justin Reed hasn't caused any problems on the field. You know, I've never seen Justin Reed yell at a player for being in the wrong spot.
No.
Those are the kind of things that we had problems with Justin Reed. With the Honey Badger. Also, Justin Reed isn't slowing down. You know, we saw the Honey Badger starting to lose a step when he was here in Kansas City. Justin Reed we haven't seen that yet. So, you know, we've got that going for him. I would wait, but if Kansas City were to give Add a year or two on the end of his contract, I don't think it would be a bad thing for the team. You got to remember, too, Kansas City does have the opportunity to go and sign one of those other safeties that's on the market right now. There are still some guys that are out there, you know, so that's one of the things that Kansas City needs to take a look out for. There are still some players out there on the free agent market. Maybe you're able to go out and get one of those guys. It's interesting what Kansas City is going to be able to do.
I think they're going to draft a safety, man. I really think they're going to draft a safety before they sign one.
Yeah,
I really do.
It'll be interesting. I mean, it really will be interesting to see what they do. I wish Kansas City would have been able to get this trade done a little bit sooner so you could go out and maybe make a bigger signing earlier in the offseason, just because now you're at a position where there's not some of those top guys, those top tier guys left. But, you know, it is what it is in this sense, right? You can't go back in time and try and move guys back around.
We've said that every year, though, Quentin.
I know.
You know, every year we wish Veach had more money, and it doesn't make a change until, you know, close to the draft or when the first wave of the free agencies, and we still end up being very good.
I'm not
really worried about what he does. I think, oh, by the way, let's bring this up really quick, because somebody had mentioned on Twitter, somebody with a halfway decent following, said that he thinks OBJ is signing with Kansas City.
I know.
I don't see that. I don't see it. I've asked a few people. They kind of laughed. Although I will say this, there's been a couple of conversations, but nothing set in stone. As far as of yesterday, there was nothing even close to being a contract. Can that change? Absolutely. I just don't see it happening. So anybody out there that is screaming OBJ for any reason whatsoever, don't get your hopes up because I just don't see it happening right now. Can it change overnight? Absolutely. But I just can't see it happening.
I'll just say this. There are some decent wide receivers left. Michael Gallup is still out there. Tyler Boyd is still out there. Right? There are still some fine. I still think they need to go out and sign a veteran running back. So there are still some things that Kansas City can do. And now you have more wiggle room than pretty much everybody else in the NFL. So there's going to be another signing or two before the draft kicks off. We're going to come on here. It might be on Thursday. It might be 2 weeks from now. But Kansas City is going to go out and they're going to sign a veteran running back, probably some sort of a tackle, probably a left tackle, and maybe possibly a wide receiver or a safety. Like, those are 2, 3, 4 moves that Kansas City is going to make before the draft. And having $26 million is very helpful to do that.
Absolutely. I think as far as wide receiver is concerned, I think they may sign a veteran, but I still think they're, depending on what they think they can do or what they have plans to do in the draft, is going to dictate whether they sign, who they sign in free agency as far as a wide receiver. I still think they're going to sign one. It's going to dictate who they sign. Because if they have an opportunity to move up in the draft and get the wide receivers, the one of two or three that he is extremely interested in, then he's going to do that.
Well, yeah, and this is the last thing that I'll say, and I've been saying it for a while. Never go into the draft with a need. So you should be planning on drafting a pass rush. You should be planning on drafting a wide receiver and a left tackle.
And a safety.
You should also fill your roster now, and because just in case, you know, the way the draft board falls and there's not a guy that you like, maybe the 3 or 4 wide receivers you really liked in the first round are gone. You don't want to draft a wide receiver that you're not in love with in the first round because you didn't go out and sign a veteran wide receiver, you know, during the offseason. So don't pigeonhole yourself. Build your roster the way that you want and hopefully get the guys that you're looking at. But, you know, you want to get the best player available, right? That should be your dynamic that you're looking at. And when you're talking about best player available, take into account positional value. And don't worry about, you know, what your team looks like in that sense, because you don't want to pigeonhole yourself and end up looking like the Giants because they've tried to draft left tackle for 4 years in a row and can't figure it out.
Will said, what about Hunter Renfrow or DJ Chark?
Good options for Kansas City to go out and get. Like, there are plenty of wide receiver options for Kansas City. I can't believe how many decent veteran wide receivers there are left. I mean, we just listed 4 guys that if Kansas City were to sign, you're like, okay, I could see that being helpful.
And you're going to get Renfrow really cheap.
Uh-huh.
You're probably going to get Chark really cheap.
All these guys are going to be cheap. All of them are going to be on 1-year deals. And somebody's going to get injured in the wide receiver room. So maybe not on week one will a Hunter Renfrow, a DJ Chark, a Michael Gallup, like they won't make an impact on week one. But somebody's going to get hurt. And at some point you're hoping that you've been here for a little bit. Let's see what you got. And you can come in and step in and the process will be smooth.
Yeah. And these guys know that even if they don't step in, we've seen it before two years ago. There's guys that sit the entire season and get a fat ring out of it and they're happy doing it.
Yeah.
So,
or it comes into the Albert Wilson game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Where he came in and he had been on the roster for a while, but honestly, his biggest game was against the Broncos in Patrick Mahomes' first game, and then he went and signed in Miami for the biggest contract that he had gotten in his career. So
exactly,
maybe a DJ Chark, right? He comes in and he gets he plays 3 weeks out of the entire season because, you know, he didn't really have a ton of time available, but X wide receiver gets hurt at some point in the season. So he plays 2 or 3 games in a row, has 2 really good games, and another team's taking a step back in 2025. Is like, man, I see his potential. So he gets a decent contract from them.
Well, and also DJ Chark was actually on the Chiefs' radar, I think it was 2021, if I'm not mistaken, that they were interested in him. So he may be an option for us. We don't know. Thoughts on Clark Hunt response to what? What are you referring to, Will? I don't know. Oh, I didn't hear it. What did he say? I don't even really know what he said, to be honest with you. I heard what Robert Kraft said, and that was comical. But I didn't get to hear what Clark Hunt said. at all. I apologize. Anyway, moving on. I don't know what else we got, but he said he never made a promise to fix the locker rooms. He may not have. He may not have. Right now, the thing is that for the last 3 years, 4 years, I should say, there's been an issue with Jackson County and the Chiefs staying in Kansas City versus moving to Kansas or whatever the case is. And a lot of it boils down to my man, Frank White, who is not responding to anyone and is taking weeks and weeks and weeks to respond to letters sent to them by the Royals and the Chiefs for that matter. So it's been tough. He may not have made any promises to anything. I can tell you this, looking at the locker rooms now compared to when all the guys I knew played there, it's the Taj Mahal. Because believe me, the locker rooms were not that nice back in the day. I don't know why they're complaining about it. It's a room.
Here's why. Here's why. Clothes. Because all of these top colleges have better workout rooms and locker rooms.
Yeah,
and
but
all of
their money is so much easily spent in college than it is in the NFL.
Because what happens is that they get donors.
Exactly. They got boosters. They got donors.
And inside of the locker room.
You have one guy that will go into a college and donate a locker room, donate a workout room.
Yeah.
One guy. So that's not like that in the NFL. You have one guy that has to flip the bill for everything.
Uh-huh.
So I get it, but I don't believe that he didn't promise players a new locker room. Andy Reid said that he wasn't aware of it either. I don't think it actually happened. And I bet you the people that said that are no longer with the team. If you brought it down, because they're always basing this off of the year prior. All this report card, if you will, is based on the 2023 one was based on the 2022 players. Just like when we failed, the 2021 one was based off the 2020 players. You have to remember that. And a lot of those players aren't with the team anymore. So, of course, they're either going to be bitter or they're going to complain, whatever the case may be. Maybe they left, with bad feelings, kind of like the Tyrann Mathieu situation, kind of like the Tyreek Hill situation. So you can't really put a whole lot of emphasis on that. If it was a team that kept their players for long periods of time, kind of like the Patriots do, and Robert Kraft is known for 20 years that his locker room is, basically Rocky Balboa's gym, then, back in the day, then that's a different story. But I don't believe it, man. Clark is really good with his owner or with his players, with keeping those guys really – he's one of the best owners in football. And anybody that's stuck around him long enough will know that. So,
and last thing I'll say about this, because we talked about it when the grades came out. You have to actually read the reason why they got the grades, because some of the reasons, if you read why some of the guys got low grades, some of the owners did, it's stupid.
It is
what we're said. So
babysitters,
you have to go and read why they got the low grade. You can't just look at the grade rating and know why. You have to read the reasonings behind it, because some of the justifications behind it are dumb.
They really are. I mean, we talked about that with the Chargers. Players were complaining because they didn't have paid daycare.
Yeah,
and the players had to pay $50 or $75 to have their kid in there. Well, that's a bullshit thing to complain about. I'm sorry, but it is. If you can't afford $50 or $75, you shouldn't bring your kid to the damn play. And don't they have a mom? Pretty sure they do. Don't you have a mom? You don't need to bring your kids to daycare to your job every day. You're not everybody out there is a single dad. So I think it's just ignorant to complain about stupid shit like that. But you know what? People are going to complain. The more bougie people get, the more they complain. It just is what it is. With that being said, I don't know what else we got, man.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about some of the stadium stuff on Thursday, because
absolutely,
it's a week from today, but we're out of time. And we'll talk about some more prospects on Thursday as well. Yep. We just had to talk about the rule changes, and I had to let the old man do his old man thing.
Hey, man, so, I had to vent. I had to get that shit, get the fuck off my lawn, man. Stay off my lawn. My grass is clean. With that being said, we appreciate everybody for joining. Make sure you go on YouTube. Click like and subscribe. That's all we want. Just buy us a cup of coffee here and there. And we will talk to you guys again on Thursday. Peace out, everybody.
See ya.